Y'all have some real zeal and enthusiasm for singing this evening. And we appreciate Brother Motley for leading us in an enthusiastic and energetic way this evening. It's good to be here this evening, good to see those of you who are here. When I saw Sister Tanya Quarles come through a little while ago, I saw a grin plastered on her face, and I had earlier seen her sister, Sonia. It's good to see Sonia. She's going to be in town for a few days, and she is back, and we are glad to see her. We know she's not back for good, but we appreciate the opportunity of seeing her again. I'm sure her family is delighted to spend a few days with her. We invite your attention to the scripture lesson that was read just a moment ago from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is a familiar story. I want to take this familiar story and use it as an illustration of living with passion and purpose. Living with passion and purpose. Passion is defined as intense, driving feeling or conviction, a strong liking or desire for or devotion to some activity, object, or concept. It is also defined as an object of desire or deep interest. Some of the synonyms for passion are devotedness, attachment, fervor, love. Passionate is defined simply as enthusiastic, full of zeal, excitement, possessing an ardent spirit. We need to live lives with passion and purpose. When we think about purpose, we think in terms of something set up as an object or end to be attained. We think of purpose as being an objective, a target, or ambition. As we think about these definitions that I have just shared with you, and as we think about the person who is the focus of our attention in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, we want to think of him as being an apt illustration of living with passion and purpose. I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, are passionate about something. Most of us, if not all of us, have a passion for something. My question is, what is your passion? What are you passionate about? What are you enthusiastically zealous for or about? What do you have strong feelings for or convictions about? What really gets you excited? Some people are very passionate about sports. Some are passionate about video games. Some folks are passionate about traveling. They enjoy traveling, and every opportunity they get, they do some traveling. Other folks are passionate about cooking. There are some folks that really get excited about cooking, and they enjoy cooking. And then there are other folks, like Arthur Davis, who is passionate about eating. I'm sure Sister Daniel would say the same thing about me. And she's bowing her head. But there are a lot of things that people are passionate about. There was an old lady in Gate City, Virginia. Years ago, I was privileged to conduct a meeting for the church in Gate City. And you know, I found out that this old lady had a passion. You know what her passion was? Her passion, Gary, was collecting dolls. And she had all kinds of dolls, many, many dolls. She had white dolls and black dolls, little dolls and big dolls, plastic dolls and cabbage patch dolls and cloth dolls, ceramic dolls. She had all kinds of dolls. She was very passionate about her doll collection. And there are other folks who are passionate about collecting various items. I had the privilege not too long ago of visiting with Sister Phillips. And one of the things I discovered, and some of you might already know this, that she was very passionate about collecting clocks. She has all kinds of clocks. She has some of them on display in a nice curio, but she has so many, she doesn't have enough room to put them out where they can be seen. But she just has a great passion for clocks. What is your passion? What do you feel very strongly about? What do you get excited about? What makes you really enthusiastic? There are some things that we should be passionate about as children of God. There are some things that should get us excited, that should imbue us with a burning zeal, that should characterize us as children of God. And I'm going to share some of those with you very shortly. But first, let us consider the example of Zacchaeus as living with passion and purpose. Go with me now to the scripture lesson. Jesus, and of course Jesus is the Savior, entered and passed through Jericho. This was the newer Jericho, not the Old Testament Jericho. Herod had built an elaborate palace at Jericho. It had several pools round about it. As a matter of fact, it is stated that Herod very likely drowned one of his own sons in one of those massive pools. Jericho was a major tolling place as goods were taxed that came through that notable city. Jericho was the place where, in the previous chapter, chapter 18, a blind man was healed. Look at verse number 35. And I want you to see that this blind man, he also lived with passion. And this blind man had a purpose. Verse 35 of chapter 18, Luke, just next door to chapter 19. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. He says, "Man, be quiet. Hush. Don't be disturbing the peace like this. Hold your peace." But notice the expression of his passion. "But he cried so much the more, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." This man, he had passion. Don't you think he had passion? Don't you think he was passionate? I think it is self-evident. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him. Jesus took notice of this blind man. His passion registered with Jesus. And he had a purpose, indicated by the fervor of his passion. He got the attention of Jesus. And when he was come near, he asked, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Isn't that a wonderful purpose? He wanted to receive his sight. He's, "That's what I want you to do for me." Earlier he had said, "Have mercy on me." The folks said, "Hush, be quiet." But he was not to be shut down. He was not to be denied. He passionately pursued his purpose. He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So passion can be contagious. And passion can be productive of helping you to achieve your purpose. The man received the object of his desire because he received his sight. Then we come back to chapter 19, and the Bible says, there was a certain man, And this is the subject under consideration. This man's name was Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. He wasn't just a regular, ordinary, everyday publican. His status was such that he had been elevated to the position as chief among the publicans. The Bible also says, in speaking of his success as chief among the publicans, the Bible says he was rich. Zacchaeus was rich. How do you think Zacchaeus became chief among the publicans? How do you think Zacchaeus became rich? Do you think by sitting on the seat of apathy? Do you think by moving around in a lackadaisical, dulcetory way? Do you think by sitting around twiddling his thumbs, he attained his status in life, or that he attained his great wealth? I suggest to you, I postulate that Zacchaeus became successful, that he became rich because of his passion and because he lived with purpose. The Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. So he had an inquiring, seeking spirit that characterized him. And he made it his purpose to see Jesus and to become more and better acquainted with him. He had the passion, as will be demonstrated. He wanted to see Jesus, who he was, but he could not for the press. He was prevented from seeing Jesus because of the crowd. And so it became necessary for Zacchaeus to somehow devise a means or craft a methodology by which he could overcome the crowds in order to see Jesus. He had a very good purpose. I commend anybody who wants to see Jesus. I commend anybody who is passionate about getting to know Jesus and to get to know more about Jesus. So my hat's off to Zacchaeus. The Bible said he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see him, but he could not because of the crowds. If he had been Shaquille O'Neal or Manute Bol, he probably would not have had a problem, Sister Mamie, in looking over the crowd in order to see Jesus, but he was not. He was a man of small stature, diminutive size, some would say vertically disadvantaged. Ever how you regard him, he was little of stature. Wait a minute. How does a little man of Zacchaeus's height, how did he rise to the high position in the governmental taxation system? How did he become a little fella? How did he become chief among the publicans? How did he attain great wealth despite his disadvantaged size? I'll tell you what it was, Sister Teresa, Alexander. I'll tell you why he, even as a little man, arose to great heights in the business world. It was because of his passion. It was because of his zeal. It was because of the purpose that he pursued. I'm convinced of that. And I think as we look closely at the text, it becomes rather self-evident. He could not see Jesus for the press because he was little of stature. And we're talking about living with passion and purpose. We see it clearly revealed, the passion that he exemplified. In verse number 4, the Bible says, and he ran. He didn't just saunter. He didn't just stroll along. He didn't just casually meander along. But the Bible says, with energetic enthusiasm, he sprinted it. He ran ahead. He ran before. Don't you think that bespeaks passion? Doesn't that indicate that he had great passion? He could have just tucked his tail and headed back to the house with his head down. I won't get a chance to see Jesus. I wanted to see him, but I'm too short. I can't see him because of the crowd. So I guess I'll head back to the office. Well, I guess I'll head back home. Ain't no way I can see him because the crowd is blocking my way. That was not the attitude he assumed. That was not the spirit of defeat that he demonstrated. That was not the spirit of giving up and giving in. He said, no, I know what I'm going to do. That little fella took off, short legs carrying him as fast as they could. He ran before. He spotted in the not too distant place, there was a sycamore tree. He had formulated within his mind a concept of how he was going to see Jesus. And so he ran ahead, climbed up that tree. You a rich man. You a high public official. You a successful businessman. It is undignified for a man of your status and a man of your success to disgrace himself by unceremoniously climbing up into a sycamore tree. Zach didn't care what folks thought. He didn't care how he looked in the eyes of men. He was pursuing with passion his purpose of seeing Jesus. He ran, climbed up in that sycamore tree because he knew Jesus was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, see, the interesting thing is that not only was Zacchaeus seeking Jesus, but Jesus was seeking Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to know more about Jesus, but Jesus already knew everything about Zacchaeus. And Jesus was seeking the seeker. He came to that tree and he looked. This is the sighting. He looked and he saw Zacchaeus. Nobody had to tell him who that was. He said unto him, this is the summons, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. And you know what? He surrendered to the Savior. He complied with the summons. Jesus said, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He made haste. He came down. You see, one of the things that characterizes people who are passionate, they don't like to waste time. They don't like to procrastinate. They don't like to hesitate. They don't like to vacillate. They don't like to equivocate. People who are passionate about important things recognize the value of time. You see, Jesus was passionate. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. I have work to do. When you get an opportunity, turn over to John chapter 2, and you see the demonstration of the passion that Jesus had. Verse 19, and this is the verse 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things out of here. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. I'm so excited. I'm so enthusiastic and zealous that the zeal for God's house is just consumed. I mean, can't you see the passion that Jesus exemplified? When you look at in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26 and in Luke chapter 23, as Jesus prayed with great solemnity and great passion, you can see, you can feel the passion that Jesus exemplified. Even as Jesus was hanging there on the cross between the twilights of two worlds, Jesus, suffering excruciating pain, demonstrated his passion for his mission because he looked down upon the perpetrators of his execution and then lifted his thorn-crowned head toward glory and uttered in words of majestic splendor, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can't you see the passion there? Passionate Savior was seeking a passionate sinner, and Jesus seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus said to Zacchaeus, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, received him joyfully. You can see and perceive the passion of Zacchaeus even in his reception of the master. He received him joyfully. He was excited to have Jesus as a guest in his home. And when they saw it, his detractors, his antagonists, they all slandered, they murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. We can again see a demonstration of Zacchaeus's sincerity. And we can see an exemplification of Zacchaeus's passion. Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham." Salvation came to his house. His passion paid off. He achieved and realized his purpose. The Bible says, Jesus then stated, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." We can see a wonderful example. I could call it a short illustration of a man living with passion and purpose. Again, what are you passionate about? What is your purpose? We should be passionate. Paul says in Colossians 3:23, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men." He says, do it with passion. Ecclesiastes 9:10, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." Let's be passionate about serving. By love, we should serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Let's be passionate about forgiveness, both seeking it and extending it to others that request it of us. Let us be passionate about Bible study. Let us be passionate about evangelism, about sharing the gospel with the lost. Let us have our zeal and enthusiasm stirred up to carry out the mission of Jesus. His mission should be our mission. Remember, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." He sought Zacchaeus and many others. He sought the woman at the well, many others. Sought Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, many others. Sought Saul on the road to Damascus, arrested him as the high sheriff of glory. He wanted to see him saved. Shouldn't we imbibe of that very same spirit that characterize our Lord and Savior? Shouldn't we be just as concerned about seeking the lost? Should we be just as concerned about sharing the message of salvation? Do you think you can become passionate about sharing the gospel and about helping the church grow? I believe, and I could be mistaken, I could be wrong, but in the words of Charles Barkley, I might be wrong, but I doubt it. I believe if enough of us became passionate about the Word of God and about the gospel of Christ and about sharing it with the lost, I believe we could grow. I believe our numbers could increase. Are you open to being passionate and living with the profound purpose of laying hold on eternal life? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, we mentioned that this morning, Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life." That's our ultimate purpose, to lay hold on eternal life. Our ultimate purpose is to not just save ourselves, but to save others as well. Living with passion and purpose. Are you a child of God already? If you're not, now is a wonderful time to become one. Jesus demonstrated great passion in making the provisions for our salvation. Will you respond like Zacchaeus responded to the Savior? Will you receive him joyfully in view of the fact that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he arose triumphantly from the grave on the third day? I trust you will. You can receive him joyfully with an appropriate spirit of passion by believing that good news of the gospel with all of your heart, by repenting of all of your sins, by confessing your faith in Christ as the Son of God, by submitting to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. You can surrender this evening like Zacchaeus surrendered. Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. Today, I must abide in your house. Will you make haste today? Don't put it off. Don't defer it. Don't delay. Don't procrastinate. Make haste and come down. When I say come down, I mean come down the aisle. And I mean humble yourself and submit yourself to the divine requirements of the Lord. You're here and you're already a child of God, but you've not been faithful. You've not pursued the Christian life with appropriate passion. You have been lackadaisical. You have been non-committal. Why not renew, rededicate your relationship to the Lord? You can do that through repentance, confession, and prayer. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Make haste. Come now. As we together stand and as we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Is pure watershed. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there.
Make haste.
Will you come?
Make haste and come down
to the fountain free. Will you come?